Bookworms by Fezzador. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on the works of J.K. Rowling. Chapter 23. Mega Happy Ending. Harry ran as fast as he could, and as Kellen instructed, didn't look back. He entered the final room, but to his shock, he wasn't alone. There was another man there, waiting for him with a rather smug expression on his face, the kind of smug expression he might have expected to see from Snape, but it wasn't Snape. No, it was perhaps the last person he would have expected, his old defense against the dark arts teacher, Professor Quirrell. "Nice of you to join me, Potter," Quirrell gloated. The normally nervous Quirrell looked rather different. He was much more poised than Harry had ever remembered. "But I thought it would have been Snape. I could have sworn he was behind this," Harry said, completely taken aback. "Fooled boy," Quirrell replied smugly. "It was me all along. Snape was trying to protect you from my master, and now his failure is about to be complete," he chuckled. "Nobody would have suspected nervous old Quirrell, eh?" "Your master?" Harry asked. "You mean Voldemort?" "None other, young Potter," Quirrell replied. "And the Manticore was my idea. A rather devious creature the Manticore is. It did its job." Harry gasped in horror. "Kellen!" Quirrell threw Harry a devilish grin. "Your friend Master Grimsith is quite dead, I'm afraid." A tear leaked from Harry's eye as he shook his head in disbelief. "You lie!" Quirrell, still grinning, took Harry by the shoulder. "Don't believe me? Come see for yourself, boy." He escorted Harry back to the potion room to get a glimpse of Kellen's lifeless body, slumped in the corner.
"Kellen!" Harry screamed. "You can't be dead! You can't be—"
"Harry," Quirrell continued, "he's dead.
But I will offer you this. I shall give you this one chance to join me. Join Lord Voldemort. If you aid us, with our combined powers, we can bring Grimsith back."
Harry heard a faint chuckling noise, but it wasn't from Quirrell. The muffled sound reminded Harry of what he had heard in the library a couple of months back. Quirrell slowly undid his turban, and as the wrappings fell to the floor, Harry caught the horrendous visage of another face on the back of Quirrell's skull. The face of Lord Voldemort himself. The face contorted itself and gave Harry an eerie grin.
"Yes, Harry. This is how I've kept myself alive all this time. By leeching from another host, drinking unicorn's blood. Such a cursed life this is."
He chuckled ominously.
"Quirrell, take the boy to the mirror."
"Yes, my lord,"
Quirrell replied immediately. Harry followed them back to the final chamber, where Harry once again stood in front of the mirror of Erised.
"Stand in front of the mirror, Harry, and tell me what you see,"
Voldemort said. Harry nervously stepped in front of the mirror and saw himself putting the Philosopher's Stone in his pocket.
"I see myself and Kellen and Ron and Hermione. We're all very happy. We've all aced our end-of-term exams."
"A likely story," Quirrell said. "If you wanted to bring your friend Grimsith back, you will help us recover the stone."
"He's lying,"
Voldemort hissed.
"But I still offer you the opportunity to help us. We can work together to bring Kellen back, Harry Potter. All I ask is one simple item in exchange. The stone. I know you can give it to me."
Harry put his hand in his pocket, just as he saw himself doing in the mirror. Sure enough, he felt the hard, sharp edges of a precious gem in his fingers. He slowly produced it from his pocket.
"Ah, yes, very good, Harry," replied Voldemort. "Bring it to us. We can use that power of the stone to bring your friend back. I know how badly you want him alive and well again."
Harry thought long and hard. In his heart of hearts, though, something didn't seem right. He took a couple of tentative steps forward, contemplating offering the stone to Quirrell and Voldemort.
Yes, that's it.
Voldemort hissed in approval.
Bring the stone to us. We can use it to bring your friend back to life. Remember, there is no such thing as good or evil. There exists only power.
Harry ran his fingers over the stone in thought before making his choice. It's a trick, he said aloud. You want the stone only to bring yourself back. You have no intention of bringing Kellen back, and you're wrong. There is good and evil, and Kellen is the epitome of good. He'd never use the stone for any reason. Voldemort's grin evaporated into a sneer.
Get him,
he snarled.
And more importantly, get me the stone.
Quirrell floated into the air and launched himself at incredible speeds towards Harry. Harry did his best to dodge Quirrell's attacks, but after a couple of minutes, Quirrell had finally tackled Harry, but Harry threw the stone out of Quirrell's reach. As Quirrell attempted to strangle Harry, Harry grabbed one of Quirrell's hands.
Ah!
Quirrell screamed in agony. Harry's hands were searing Quirrell's hand, and Harry continued to grasp it until it turned to nothing but ash.
The stone! The stone!
Barked Voldemort. Quirrell made a mad dash to get past Harry and get the stone, but Harry was too quick. Harry then placed both hands on Quirrell's face, causing him to scream in pain. Harry dug his fingertips into Quirrell's cheeks until his entire body and Voldemort evaporated. Harry grabbed the stone and placed it back in his pocket, but as he did so, his vision faded to black and he collapsed in a heap, unconscious. When he woke up some time later, he found himself in the infirmary, with Professor Dumbledore smiling down on him. How long have I been out, Professor? Harry asked.
Nearly 3 days, my boy, Dumbledore replied simply. I'm glad to see you're awake.
Harry was distracted when he noticed a small mountain of sweets, snacks, and cards next to his bed. Dumbledore chuckled.
Oh, help yourself to the goodies your friends and admirers left behind. Even Mr. Malfoy left you a get-well card. I would never have expected that, but I'm glad to see he'd remembered you just the same. And it's clear to me, he went on, sobering considerably, that you earned every bit of it.
Harry focused his attention back fully on the wise old man, whose eyes sparkled through those half-moon glasses with something that could only be respect.
Well done, Harry. Well done indeed, he whispered. You've protected the stone. We couldn't have done it without your help.
Harry blinked.
The Philosopher's Stone, is it safe?
Dumbledore chuckled.
It is, my boy, it is. But I have something very special planned for it.
Harry shook his head in disbelief.
What is it?
Dumbledore smiled sadly.
It was a very difficult decision, but my friends Nicholas and I have agreed that the right thing to do is to destroy the stone.
Nicholas Flamel? Harry asked.
But he'll die without the stone, won't he?
Dumbledore nodded.
He will in time, yes. But he's got elixir enough to get a few final things sorted out.
It's for the best, then, isn't it? Harry agreed.
But, Professor, the stone, how did that end up in my pocket?
Oh, that's a wonderful question. You see, that was one of my finer moments. I enchanted the mirror in such a way that only a beholder that wanted the stone badly enough, but with the integrity to not actually use it, would receive the precious gem. Harry nodded, thinking back, and then his face fell and he abruptly began sobbing as he remembered,
Kellen, he's dead, Professor, I can't believe he's gone.
Professor Dumbledore hung his head.
He did a very noble thing for you, Harry. He sacrificed himself so you could go and protect the stone. It is to my shame that children such as you were placed in such danger. But you rose to the occasion. All of you are heroes.
Him most of all, said Harry through his tears.
Dumbledore nodded.
Him most of all.
I'd like to be alone, Professor.
Of course, my boy, said Dumbledore.
Madame Pomfrey thinks that to be for the best regardless.
Ronald and Hermione will be allowed to visit you tomorrow, but for now, rest.
He rose, placed a hand on the boy's shoulder briefly, and swept solemnly from the infirmary. Late that evening, Dumbledore was startled from his musings by an insistent rapping at his office door. Curiously, he opened it and was greeted by a young Hermione Granger.
"I've been to see Harry."
Dumbledore blinked. "Miss Granger, Madame Pomfrey did say that Mr. Potter is not to be disturbed until the morning. How did you even—"
"You put his invisibility cloak back on his bed in Gryffindor Tower with another note."
The silvery material of the magical garment spilled from either side of her clenched fist.
"I'm sorry, Professor. No, I'm not sorry. Kellen wouldn't be sorry. He always said that doing the right thing is more important than following the rules."
She spoke more to herself than to him. "Miss Granger,
I want to see him, Professor."
Dumbledore paused, flummoxed. "But you've just been to see—"
"Oh, Harry, Professor, Kellen!"
"Ah." Tears began to leak from Hermione's fierce young eyes.
"I can save him, Professor."
"No, Miss Granger, no. I am so sorry, but there is no magic that can bring
back—"
That can bring back the dead.
"I know. I'm sorry for interrupting you, but Professor, I love him. I can save him."
The tears flowed freely now, but her words were clear and strong.
"I have to try. I love him."
The headmaster regarded her with a greater intensity, searching for he knew not what. She held his gaze like a girl paralyzed, even as her hand shook.
"I'm not leaving until you take me to him."
He sighed. "Will Mistress Weasley and, dare I say, Potter be joining us?" Her lip quivered.
They're just outside. Didn't want to bother you."
"What kind and considerate boys they are. Come with me." As it happened, they went straight back to the hospital wing, which housed not just the school infirmary, but the rarely used school morgue. Dumbledore let the children into the small chamber the boy had been brought to, and stood sentinel at the entrance. It was always the Muggleborns, he reflected sadly, raised on fairy tales and fairy stories where magic had no limits, who made him stand here, in this exact spot, and watch them fail. Sometimes it took minutes, sometimes it took days. No matter. He would give them the time they needed. Hermione looked at Kellen's still, seemingly lifeless body. She whispered to him very softly.
"Robert Kellen Grimseth. You're right, Kit, you know that."
The tears from her eyes splashed on Kellen's baseball jersey.
"You're without question the sweetest, the bravest, and the most brilliant boy I've ever met. More importantly, you're my very best friend, and I love you with all my heart. Please, please wake up."
She closed her eyes and darted her head forward, kissed his lips, and then stood back up just as quickly. His body remained perfectly still. Hermione turned to Dumbledore and he slowly shook his head from side to side. She turned back to the body of her friend and began sobbing openly, uncontrollably. Harry and Ron held her up between them as all three of them grieved. Then something extraordinary happened. Hermione Granger succeeded. It seemed to be a trick of the light at first, but it soon became clear that Kellen's body was faintly glowing. His eyelids fluttered open, then a creaky groan escaped from his lips. Kellen sat up in his bed, grabbing his stomach with both hands.
"My stomach burns," he moaned softly. "Kellen!"
Hermione squeaked with amazement.
"You're all right! You're awake, mate!"
Ron added, rubbing at his eyes.
"Welcome back, Kellen,"
Harry said.
"I thought we lost you for good."
Kellen smiled weakly.
"Of course I'm all right, Hermione."
His smile faded as he groaned.
"Wait, did you guys wake me? I had a dream that I was in an endless green field."
Hermione smiled at Kellen, tears still streaming down her cheeks, but this time tears of joy.
"I did, Kellen. I mean, I must have done. I just wanted to try. Professor, thank you for letting me try. What did I even do?"
Knowing that his abdomen was still tender, she gave Kellen a gentle hug. She playfully removed Kellen's Minnesota Twins baseball cap from his noggin and placed it on her own head before planting one final smooch on his forehead. She then backed up to give Harry and Ron some room, who each gave Kellen heartfelt hugs of their own. Dumbledore, shocked until now beyond words, strode forward.
"Mr. Grimsith, Kellen, I'm afraid to say that you were dead. Miss Granger insisted on coming here to attempt this unorthodox method of revival, and I must confess I was simply humoring her. I believe that what we have just witnessed is nothing more or less than a miracle."
You brought me back from the dead? With that kiss, Hermione?
Kellen breathed. It must have been some kiss.
Ow.
Harry punched Ron in the arm.
"How long was I out for?"
Kellen asked. 3 days precisely, said Dumbledore. Kellen started.
"But that means our exam results are in."
He paused.
How did I do?
Dumbledore laughed. "All in good time, my boy. For now, get some rest. Returning from the dead must be tiring, after all." He raised a long, wrinkled finger. "That reminds me. I'll need to speak with Madame Pomfrey about administering you a few potions before you leave the hospital wing." His brow wrinkled. "I'm afraid you won't find them very tasty, but it's to ensure that you don't suffer from any long-term effects from the venom that horrific manticore inflicted, not to mention that you were officially deceased for 3 days. He then turned his gaze toward Hermione, his eyes twinkling. "You're fortunate to have revived your best friend when you did, Miss Granger. Most corpses begin to putrefy shortly after their death. Thankfully, he appears to be no worse for the wear." He then chuckled softly. "You're one special little witch, Hermione Granger. You're blessed with cleverness, sensibility, and more courage than you think. You're also blessed to have these three terrific lads who adore you. Just like love, friendship is a very powerful magic unto itself." That evening, all of Hogwarts assembled for the end-of-term feast. Professor Dumbledore was about to announce the final standings for the House Cup.
"What a term, what a term. Thank you all for making this year so memorable. And now I'm sure you're all wondering how everyone ended up in the House Cup."
The Gryffindors had rather glum expressions on their faces, as what could have been a possible first place finish was erased by a massive 250-point loss in March.
"In fourth place, with 185 points, Gryffindor,"
Dumbledore continued amid muted applause.
"In third place, with 371 points, Hufflepuff."
More muted applause.
"In second place, with 405 points, Ravenclaw. And finally, in first place, Slytherin, with 554 points.
The Slytherin table erupted in thunderous cheers. It wasn't just a House Cup victory, it was utter dominance this term. Professor Dumbledore smiled.
"But we're not finished yet. Certain deeds have come to my attention which must be accounted for."
His smile broadened.
"Miss Daphne Greengrass, Miss Tracy Davis, Miss Pansy Parkinson, and Miss Gemma Farley. These young ladies were not satisfied with their house's perception. They overcame prejudice to reach out and prove that just because the hallmarks of Slytherin are cunning and ambition, that doesn't mean that a serpent can't also be kind, generous, and understanding. Their part in Slytherin's warmer relationship with the other houses, most particularly Gryffindor, cannot be understated. I humbly award each of these fine young witches 20 points.
All four of the Slytherin witches blushed deeply as some applause rang out, but mostly from Kellen, Hermione, and the Slytherin table. Slytherin had already won. What was Dumbledore giving them more points for? Professor Dumbledore again waved to hush the mess hall.
"Mr. Draco Malfoy, this young man has learned some very valuable lessons this term, I think. He has overcome both house and personal prejudices to obtain mutual understanding and even respect from witches and wizards of different backgrounds than himself. I am beyond delighted to see how he has discovered his inner decency and is now more willing to treat others the way he'd like to be treated. For showing such personal growth, I award Slytherin 35 points.
Louder applause this time, as Draco's transformation had been conspicuous to all four houses, Kellen even got up and made his way to the Slytherin table to personally congratulate Draco. He offered his hands to him, but Draco shook his head no, but then grinned at Kellen. To Kellen's shock, Draco stood up and embraced him like a long-lost brother. "Congratulations, Draco. You deserve that recognition," Kellen said softly, grinning broadly. "You know, I'm going to miss you a bit next term. I wish you nothing but success at Durmstrang. If you want to owl me..." "Thanks, mate," Draco replied with sincere gratitude. "I apologize for letting my jealousy and bigotry blind me earlier this term. Pure blood or not, you're a bloody amazing wizard." He paused for the briefest of moments. "I'm going to miss you too. And about owling, I'd like that. I could use a pen pal." When Kellen returns to the Gryffindor table, Dumbledore quieted the hall down once again.
"However, it is not just the excellent House of Salazar that has earned last-minute points. To Mr. Ronald Weasley, for playing the most brilliant game of wizard's chess Hogwarts has seen in over a generation, I award 100 points.
Ron's jaw dropped, and all three of his brothers clapped him on the shoulder and shook his head. Harry, Hermione, and Kellen all hugged Ron. Even Desiree, Pansy, Daphne, and Tracy all offered smiles and thumbs up.
To Mr. Harry Potter, who demonstrated a high degree of courage under duress, I award 100 points.
Harry grinned broadly, and like Ron, he got plenty of hugs, shoulder claps, and handshakes.
To Mr. Robert Grimseth, better known as Kellen, for his unwavering bravery, for doing more than any other to build bridges between the four houses, and indeed, for the highest exam scores in the history of the school, I award him those same scores in points for his house. A total of 139.
Kellen's eyes widened, and then he placed a hand over his mouth in disbelief. The cheers rose but faltered, as Gryffindor still trailed Slytherin by a good number of points. Then Dumbledore cleared his throat and went on.
To Miss Hermione Granger, who proved beyond a shadow of a doubt the power and magic that resides in love, when she stole back Mr. Grimseth from the clutches of death itself, I award 200 points.
Hermione folded her arms on the table and buried her face in them, weeping softly. Harry, Ron, and Kellen each gently patted her on the shoulder. Every single student from each house and every faculty member stood up to give Hermione a standing ovation. The cheers and applause were nothing short of deafening. Desiree, Daphne, Pansy, and Tracy all went over to the Gryffindor table to embrace Hermione and Kellen. As he was still on the mend, they each gave him the gentlest of hugs and a peck on the forehead. Professor Dumbledore smiled.
"Now, with all these additional points being tallied up, I believe there's going to be a change of decor here."
He waved a hand, and the green Slytherin banners turned to Gryffindor red and gold. And like that, the 1991-1992 academic year had come to a close. Harry, Hermione, Ron, and Kellen all said goodbye to each other at Hogsmeade Station, each promising to keep in touch during their summer break.
"I know it's too late now, but maybe next summer you can spend the summer with us, Harry," Kellen offered.
"I hope the Dursleys don't annoy you too much," Harry chuckled.
"I'd like that, but I think I'll be good this year. I may not be allowed to practice magic outside of school, but my relatives don't know that."
A devilish smirk crossed his face.
"Maybe we can meet up in Diagon Alley," suggested Hermione.
"At least spend a little time together before class ends."
"That would be awesome," Kellen said. "We have each other's addresses, so we should be able to coordinate something."
He then got a small piece of parchment out and scribbled something on it.
"This is my phone number, along with the country code," he said as he handed it to Hermione. "I know it might be kind of pricey being an international call, but I'd love to hear your voice at least once. If you'd rather I call you, I'm sure my parents wouldn't mind one shortish call."
Hermione beamed and gave Kellen her phone number in country code.
"I'd love that," she replied.
Just as she was about to turn back toward Harry and Ron so they could exchange addresses, Kellen grabbed her hand and spun her back around. She saw his eyes mist as he leaned over and began whispering in her ear.
"Amazing doesn't even begin to describe you, Hermione Jean Granger," he told her, helpless to prevent the tears from spilling down his cheeks. "You refused to give up even when everyone else did. You're the truest and closest friend I've ever had, and I love you with all my heart. Thank you for everything."
Just as Kellen was about to show his appreciation by reciprocating the kiss Hermione had given him earlier, their tender moment was interrupted by a random blurting by Ron.
So what's this, this phone number you guys mentioned? He asked, with a befuddled expression on his face.
It's something Muggles use to communicate through long distance, replied Hermione.
Harry and Keller know what I'm talking about. She gestured to Harry. I'll give you my number if you want, but if your relatives really are as bad as you say they are, I doubt that anything's going to happen prior to meeting up in Diagon Alley.
Harry nodded. I'm not keeping my hopes up there. Besides, a letter or postcard is plenty.
Have fun teasing your cousin, Kellen chuckled. Just trying not to get caught.
For the full text of this and other stories by the same author, visit the AO3 page of Fezzador. Music is The Industrious Ferret by Kevin MacLeod. Special thanks to Sakiko. If you would like me to record a story, voiceover, or character, please get in touch with me using the contact information on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find other stories that I've read, as well as a link to my Discord server and other ways to support what I do. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.